This country, you gotta make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman.
This is Money Talks.
All right, we're back, and let's answer a few of these questions. And again, 770-429-9166 if you want to do business with us, or if you want to leave a question for us to answer on the show, or drgandhensler.com. I've got one here from Matthew in Kirkwood, or his name may be Matthew Kirkwood. My uncle recently passed away and left me a substantial IRA account. You're a lucky man.
Yeah.
The attorney handling the estate indicated the value of the IRA would be taxable to the estate and the withdrawals taxable to me. It seems like double taxation. Is that accurate? What, Ben, was the deal?
You got it. He's on the money. I mean, you know, there is a provision that helps out, though.
Okay.
All right, so what we're talking about is evidently the uncle had a sizable estate, so because the estate tax exemption, you know, is over $5 million, right?
Yeah, so if he had under $5 million, there would be no estate tax
on this. And so you wouldn't have that first part of that tax being paid.
Okay.
So his uncle's IRA is included in his uncle's estate.
Right.
He paid tax on that estate, right? And now this person receives this IRA account as an inherited IRA.
And does he get it at less than its market value because taxes were paid on it?
Well, what happens is any money that he'll have to start taking money out of that inherited IRA.
Yes, right? He does. Yeah, I know
and
that.
That's going to be taxable income to him, but he can take a deduction on Schedule A, itemized deduction, for estate taxes paid that could be attributable to that IRA. So that helps negate that there is double taxation. If he didn't itemize his
returns.
Then it's double taxation, right?
Okay.
But there is a provision to help offset that. Now, it's not going to always work. What if you're subject to AMT? What if your itemized deductions are phased out? I mean, you
know,
there's lots
of things. The bottom line, there is a way.
And it's overlooked. And it's on Schedule A. It's not subject to 2%. It's a miscellaneous itemized deduction.
Okay, now, here's only one other comment here. You're listening to the attorney handling the estate. Bad. Talk to a CPA.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, I got one.
Now, would that be carried forward, too? Could you, I mean, if it's...
Yeah, because that's going to come out over time. So,
yeah.
I mean, you could...
So, it would be more than just a single year that you'd have to do.
I mean, he gave you a straight deal on what was going on, all right, the attorney.
Yeah, that was accurate.
But he's not a tax expert. See a CPA who specializes in taxes who can say, how can we get out of this? Okay?
There you go.
Give you
certainly
an
alternative.
That's what we're doing here. So. All right, Patrick from Atlanta. I've held shares of Hershey Foods for about 5 years. I made a huge profit from price appreciation and reinvested dividends. Because of the price, it's a large percentage of my portfolio. But as far as the number of shares I own, it's still under 10% of my portfolio. Do I need to sell?
Yeah.
Well, number of shares don't mean
anything.
Not
at all.
If you own one share of Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
It could be a huge portion
of
your portfolio.
It's the dollar, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The total value of your portfolio, we generally say if it's over 5%, we'd rather have you reduce it at least that much. If you want to look further into the details of Hershey, it doesn't look terribly expensive at this time. It is a little bit more than its historical, but
it's got some problems, and that's because it's owned by a trust,
absolutely.
Controlled by a family,
yeah,
and it's really not in the best interest of all the stockholders.
Right.
Their actions are basically what's good for the Hershey family.
Milton Hershey left all of his shares to the Milton Hershey Trust, which actually runs a home for orphans, I believe, and they will never be out of control of that business. In fact, to the point that I think it was 1986, they decided they wanted to diversify, so they issued some B shares, a different class of shares that have a bigger voting right, so that they would maintain that control. And they, in order to do it, they forced the business to take on a significant amount of debt.
Correct.
So, you know, all the other shareholders are Yeah. Basically,
does a family own, do you know?
99.9% of the controlling shares, and they own a little over 7% of the common shares. Yeah. So, they get a similar dividend.
And listen, this is nothing that's unusual. Being from Detroit, we know more. Ford Motor was controlled by the family, had two different kinds of shares, one that could vote, one that couldn't.
Right.
And then they, on top of that, they had the Ford Foundation having all these shares.
Yeah.
And Ford never did well in the stock market, even though the company earnings went up, because every time the stock went up 10 or 15%, the foundation would sell.
Right. Yeah.
8 billion shares or something.
Right.
And to get rid of it. So
drive the price back down.
Yeah. So always be aware of who controls the business too.
This is a governance issue.
Not just the nature of the business and how well it's doing profit wise.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It matters.
Yep. All right. I got a question here from Vicky in Mapleton. I was visiting my sister recently, and we ended up talking about each other's financial situation and taxes. It turns out that our yearly incomes are about the same, but the amount of taxes that we pay is entirely different. My income is from pension and interest income, and my sister's income is mostly from dividends and gains from the sales of stocks. These girls are pretty lucky, aren't they?
Yeah, they've planned well.
We're both widows. That probably explains it.
Right.
We're both widows and collect about the same amount of Social Security benefits. Neither of us itemizes our deductions, but my tax in 2014 was almost $6,000, why hers were just over $1,000. How can this be?
Well, that's a good question.
And that's why I'm reading it on the air.
I like it. Not all items of income are treated equally.
Okay.
Probably the difference in this case, and they tell us, one of them has income from capital gains and dividends. Well, if you're all the way through the 15% bracket, your tax rate on capital gains and qualified dividends is
zero.
So, right there, that explains, when you look at the other person. Interest income is subject to ordinary income tax rates. Pension income, subject to ordinary income tax rates. So that's the disparity between these two situations. It's pretty easy to explain why that could be the case.
Yeah. Wouldn't she be able to? If she's got interest income, she's probably got some sort of an investment or savings, right? So wouldn't you assume that if she wanted to lower her tax bill, she could take whatever amount she had in that, invest it in some municipal bonds that have no tax on the income or
she
interest?
She could, obviously. You can do that to drive it down. It would depend on what portion of that.
Absolutely.
And then it depends. You got to look at the muni market and, your tax rate and see what you see.
So
what it looks
basically
like.
The differential between this is the one sister's is entirely capital gains and sales of stocks.
Yep.
And hers is pension and interest income.
That's
the other
right.
one.
So
and the pension is tax.
Pension's ordinary income, right? And it's going to run up the scale.
And there's not much you can do about that.
But see, for a single person, the top of the 15% bracket is about $37,000. So she could run all the way up to 37, the first one.
Yeah, but she's got a pension, she's got Social Security.
Yeah, now her, she's the one that's paying the higher tax bill because she is paying that 15% on the tire.
So it's tough. It's tough rocks.
Yes.
You outlived your husband, for Pete's sakes, and you're enjoying his pension income while he's molding away in the grave.
Yeah.
So count yourself lucky. That's a $5,000 differential between you and your sister. Would you rather be in your husband's position or yours? All right.
And with that.
That was Dr. Gene, everybody.
Next week, I think the stock market is going to go up.
I believe you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And again, if you want to get a hold of us, 770-429-9166. Email drgnetzer.com. It's been a pleasure being with you. I look forward to talking with you next Saturday.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.